Welcome to the Inbalance Podcast. My name is Jim Simon, and I am the Director of Sustainability at Gonzaga University. Inbalance animates Gonzaga University's CREATE model for sustainability through interviews and conversations with students, staff, faculty, and community members practicing sustainability on campus and in our region. My guest today is Dr. Kevin Brown. Kevin is a senior specialist for faculty and staff formation and an adjunct instructor of religious studies at Gonzaga University. He received his PhD in systematic theology from Boston College and his MA and BA from Loyola Marymount University. Kevin researches primarily in the areas of ecclesiology, theologies of ministry and discipleship, feminist and liberation theologies, ecumenism, and the work of Sandra Schneiders. His work has been published in Vision of Hope, Emerging Theologians and the Future of the Church, and So You Say You Want a Revolution, 1968 to 2018, in Theological Perspective. He currently serves as the editor of the Proceedings of the Catholic Theological Society of America. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks, Jim.
So, are you a Beatles fan? I saw the title of that journal, So You Say You Want a Revolution.
I do like the Beatles. That was actually the theme of a conference for the College Theology Society, and then they selected some of the papers from that conference to be in that volume. So
nice. That stuck out to me and actually led me to listen to some Beatles music on Spotify before.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Kevin, tell me a little bit about yourself. Are you from Spokane, somewhere else? How did you end up at Gonzaga?
So I'm actually from Southern California. I grew up in a small town called Dana Point, about halfway between San Diego and LA. Lived in Southern California the first 26 years of my life before I moved to Boston for my doctoral program. I actually did almost come to Gonzaga for undergrad. It was between LMU and Gonzaga. And I told my parents that I didn't want to go somewhere where I couldn't wear flip-flops year-round. Sort of as poetic justice, I guess I ended up in Boston during their snowiest winter ever. And then now live in Spokane, but I'm really happy to be here. I ended up here because my wife got hired in the religious studies department. And then I started adjuncting in the department 2 years ago. It's my third year. And have been working in mission and ministry since August.
Okay. I'm looking at your feet, and you are indeed not wearing flip-flops today.
Not in February, but okay. If you catch me around campus during the summer, I will have my rainbow sandals on.
I'll check it out. So you're working on faculty and staff formation around our mission. I think that's really important work. Could you tell us a little bit about what that entails?
Yeah. So a lot of what that entails is simply, at a basic level, inviting faculty and staff into dialogue with the mission statement and with the sources of the mission statement. So it's not about asking people to convert to Catholicism or asking everyone to be a Jesuit or to find some way of being a formal collaborator with Jesuits, but inviting them to look at the mission statement and see how that resonates with their own centers of ultimate concern or their own understanding of ultimate meaning. And where can there be dialogue between those two? And so it's inviting people into that conversation to begin with, and then asking how they can put any insights, any points of contact that they find, into practice. So for faculty, that might be, how does that shape what you're doing in the classroom? So, or how does that shape the type of research that you want to do? For staff members, it's how do you care for the whole student, or how do you care for the whole institution that is Gonzaga? What insights from the Catholic intellectual tradition or the Jesuit tradition do you find especially compelling that inspire you to want to do your work in a particular way? And so it's facilitating opportunities for exploration of those traditions and not telling anyone then what they're supposed to do, allowing someone to carry out that discernment on their own. So it also involves working with some of my colleagues in mission and ministry around what is discernment, and then how can you take those ideas and discern what you want to do in your work at Gonzaga.
Got it. I think I've heard you say a few times in your remarks that some of the most fervent contributors to kind of Jesuit higher ed are those that are actually not Catholic, mm-hmm. or not even Christian. Could you maybe talk about how that kind of big tent of Jesuit pedagogy and how that works here?
Yeah, absolutely. So to be totally honest, I steal that phrase from Jesuits who have said it to me. A lot of Jesuits, when they're talking about handing on the Jesuit charism to lay colleagues, they're emphasizing that it's not just for the Catholic colleagues at the university, that it's for everyone. And then they draw on examples of non-Catholics who really carry the mission forward. And so part of that is about making clear, again, that it's not asking anyone to convert to a particular religion, but asking someone to enter into dialogue with a tradition. And when you enter into dialogue with a different tradition, you bring your own particularity and your own insights and what you hold to be most important into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that you can take the mission and bring something new to it. You can take the sources of your own religious tradition or your own non-religious tradition and do something new with the mission. Bring something new to it. And then the idea is that that's not just for you, that you can offer that to the whole community and the whole community can participate in it.
So it's evolving, it's rich, it's kind of ever-changing.
Yeah, it's all those things. And it's recognizing that a tradition can't be static if it's going to continue to have meaning.
Yeah, I like that. This year is the 5th anniversary of the publication of Laudato Si, the encyclical on care for the planet. In my work in sustainability, that was a big deal, not just amongst AJCU colleagues, but just the ability to have that type of support to do the work that someone like me is called to do. As a theologian, how have you seen this document move from kind of the paper into practice?
So I think there's a couple ways. One is more than ever before, I think you can see in Catholic parishes and Catholic dioceses, sustainability offices popping up. Mm-hmm. Not in the numbers that a lot of us would like to see, but they are beginning to show up more than they did before, and that's one way. Parishes are also, when they ask communities to consider what can you do for Lent, or what sort of way can you live into the gospel in a new way each year as you prepare for Easter, they're including practices of sustainability and sort of a list of suggestions, which is, I think, really important. And it moves away sort of the what can you give up to what can you actually do to affect some sort of social change. Yeah. I think that's especially important. Another way that I think it's beginning to be put into practice, but it's still sort of at the paper stage, is a colleague of mine who's actually coming to Gonzaga to talk in April, Father Dan Horan, talks about the document as a transitional document, whereas Catholic approaches to sustainability prior to the document were very much focused on stewardship. And it was sort of steward the resources so that we always have resources. And there was a look at the inherent value of creation, but the emphasis was on stewarding resources so human communities can continue to flourish. And Dan points to this document not fully moving toward reaching it, but moving toward a more kinship model where humans and all other creatures are in a community of kinship with one another. And so it recognizes some of the inherent value of non-human creatures and of the natural environment being good in and of themselves, not good just because they're useful to human beings. And so I think that that's shifting the way that Catholic communities are beginning to view their relationship to the rest of the natural world. It's not perfect and it's not a universal shift, but I think the document is helping move that type of thinking and also that type of action forward.
That's exciting. And Dan comes from the Franciscan tradition. I think we've talked about how I grew up just a few miles from St. Bonaventure University, and I'd like mm-hmm. to think that that tradition kind of helped form me and set me on my way to a path towards sustainability. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say in April.
Yeah, absolutely. And the talk is going to look at how Pope Francis took the name Francis, drawing on the Franciscan tradition. But he himself is a Jesuit. So how do the Ignatian tradition and the Franciscan tradition come together at this question of sustainability and environmental justice? And what can each say to the other?
That's exciting. Kind of in that note, I've heard you present several times recently, and you mentioned specifically pressing into the radical edges of Ignatian pedagogy. And I have to be honest, when I heard that, it was refreshing to hear mm-hmm. you and others from Mission and Ministry up on the stage or at the front of the room speak in that way, because I think there's such a great opportunity to do good around those radical edges. Could you maybe talk about what that means for you, what it means for Gonzaga?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I like the phrase radical edges because it's broken down into two words, really. So one, you're talking about the growing edges of any tradition. We mentioned a minute ago that a tradition can't be static. If it's going to continue to have meaning, it has to be able to speak to people in its contemporary context. That doesn't mean it just changes to whatever the popular moment is, mm-hmm. But that it has to adapt to speak to people. Mm-hmm. I had a professor who used the image of a fashion store being, if it wants to stay with the latest fashion, it can't stay the same it was in 1990 to what it is in 2020.
Although I've seen a lot more Doc Martin boots.
That's true. Maybe 1990 comparison wasn't the best for this moment. And that's not, again, not to say just goes with whatever people want, but it has to be able to speak to people. So there's the growing edge, and the growing edge responds to the concerns of people. So as people raise questions like environmental justice, mm-hmm. as they raise questions about racial justice and economic justice. But the word radical also has its root meaning in the word root from the Latin radix. So the radical edges is looking at the growing edges by going to the roots of the tradition. So what's at the root of a tradition in Ignatian pedagogy or the Catholic tradition? In the Catholic tradition, you can look at Jesus's ministry in the Gospels and a concern for the poor and the vulnerable. So that's the root. How do you take that to the growing edges? The radical part is the root, take it to the growing edges, look at economic justice in the world today, look at communities that are hurt most by environmental degradation today, look at minoritized racial populations. How does what the Catholic tradition has to say about justice speak to the present context there? And the same is true of the Jesuit tradition. Mm-hmm. How does the concern to form persons for others speak to how students can go into the world and meet those challenges today? So it's drawing on the sources of what Jesuit education is meant to be in terms of being critical thinkers who engage the community, and then looking at where the edge of that tradition sort of meets the world today. Mm-hmm. So it involves looking at the original questions that Jesuit education tried to answer. What does it mean to be a person mm-hmm. in the world? But then what does it mean to be a person in light of the questions that are pressing up against the tradition?
Got it. By the time folks hear our conversation on the World Wide Web, a reading series for staff around Laudato Si, and I think one for faculty too, mm-hmm. will be underway or even maybe finished. What do you hope this series will stir for the community here mm-hmm. in Gonzaga?
So I'm really not trying to plug the talk that Dan Horan's going to give, but I like his title because it's called Beyond Laudato Si, or at least before then he gets into the really academic subtitle. But what I'm hoping it will stir is seeing Laudato Si not as the endpoint of, yay, the Catholic Church finally said something about climate change through an official document, but rather we have this important document. Not only how can we put it into practice, but how can we take some of the seeds of what's there and develop it even further? So at Gonzaga, that would mean looking at what the document says about all the ways climate change and ecological degradation affects vulnerable communities, both human and non-human. And then asking, how can we in our work either directly address those challenges or shape students who can then go out into the world and address those challenges as they go forth from Gonzaga? I think one area that Gonzaga has a lot of potential around is what Pope Francis says in about the relationship of indigenous communities to the environment. So one, addressing how indigenous communities in particular have been harmed by things like environmental racism and just the general lack of care for the rest of the natural world by colonizing populations. But also the wisdom that other communities can learn from indigenous people about how to live in relationship with the natural world. So that's one place that I hope Gonzaga can sort of move toward as we read this document. We have a Office of Tribal Relations that is eager to work on this, and I've been participating in a reading group there on indigenous and Christian stories of creation the past year. That's sort of looking at those questions as well.
That's exciting.
In faculty, it's just sort of, how can it shape what you're doing in the classroom? How can you raise these questions with your students? So that then when they're in all the many activities that Gonzaga students are doing, they can make a contact with hopefully what staff members are bringing out of their reading groups as well. So there's not a disconnect between the two, but both are serving the students in the various ways that faculty and staff form the students we want to send into the world.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate that kind of connection to the tribes and indigenous wisdom. One of my favorite books that I've read in the last year is called Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. And one of the stories, and I'm going to butcher it, in the book was some people were in a boat and they were, I think, collecting seeds. And someone noticed a scientist, non-tribal, non-indigenous scientist, noticed that seeds were falling back into the water, and he immediately went back to his lab and created a way to collect the seeds from not falling into the water. And the folks he was working with were like, why did you just do that? We want them to fall back in the water because we want them to go back. They want them to grow. We want to continue this abundance. So I think there's a really great invitation to think differently about the natural world that I imagine Dan's talk will help spur, and the work that you're doing will help spur.
So, I hope so, yeah. And one of the things that going forward we would hope to do is we're going to be launching this new sort of three-tiered program for faculty and staff formation starting hopefully next fall. The first tier will sort of be, what is Ignatian, the Ignatian tradition, the Catholic intellectual tradition? The second will be, what is a faith that does justice, to sort of get, not to draw strong distinctions between types of justice, but what makes us distinctive from any other university that might also care about justice. And then the third tier will be looking at specific issues like environmental justice. So hopefully we'll have another series in light of the Catholic and Jesuit traditions. So hopefully we'll have another one that won't just look at Laudato Si, but some of the more eco-theological writings that are coming out from theologians around the globe. In both the U.S. around the globe, but yeah.
That's exciting. I know when I got to Gonzaga, our version of that kind of formation process about 5 or 6 years ago was sitting and watching a video trying to depict Ignatius being hit by a cannonball, how that impacted him. So I think it sounds like it's growing in really exciting ways.
Hopefully, yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to chat about today, Kevin, or?
Not necessarily. I just thank you for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, it was great to have you, and it's a good conversation. I'm excited that kind of what we're talking about today kind of has a long runway for action, you know, with the talk in April and the work that you're doing with Formation in the coming months. So thanks for all that you do and all that Mission Ministry does.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Thanks for listening to the In Balance podcast. In Balance can be found at www.gonzaga.edu/podcasts. Take a listen and pass it on to a friend or colleague. Check back soon for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the richness of the CREATE model as it is lived out at Gonzaga University and our broader community. Taking a cue from our episode 2 guest, JJ, follow us on social media if you'd like, via @ZagsGoGreen.